Hi. Welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This is a monthly show that discusses classical homeopathy and especially its use in the treatment and cure of autism. My name's Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting live today from the San Francisco Bay Area right near Stanford University. It's a really beautiful day today. It's definitely spring here in California, and everything's green and the flowers are blooming. It's a beautiful day. Actually, this is a special week for homeopathy, too. We're in the midst of World Homeopathy Awareness Week, April 10th through 16th. And in fact, this is the very first World Homeopathy Awareness Week. It all started because on April 10th, this past Sunday, was the 250th birthday of Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, who was born in 1855. So, the various homeopathic organizations all around the world decided to celebrate by starting this tradition of World Homeopathy Awareness Week, and I was really pleased to participate in this myself. I was interviewed on radio in New Zealand, and in fact, the New Zealand Homeopathic Society ordered copies of my book, Impossible Cure, for all the libraries in New Zealand. So that was really exciting for me. And I'm very excited about it being World Homeopathy Awareness Week. I'm hoping that things like this show will bring awareness of homeopathy in the United States and really in the whole world. So I also encourage those of you tuning in today, maybe some of you are tuning in for the first time, to listen to past archive broadcasts of this show. There's three past shows. One of the reasons is because essentially I'm developing a kind of course, or in a way that the show is structured as kind of a course on homeopathy, which is based on my book, Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy. Also, I encourage all of you who are interested in pursuing homeopathic treatment for your child or for yourself to read this book. Not only is it, thankfully, I'm very excited, one of the best-selling books on homeopathy at Amazon, but many practitioners are even requiring their patients to read this book, especially for autism patients, but not strictly, because the book really isn't a book about autism treatment. It includes a chapter about how my son was cured of autism with homeopathy, but it's really a general introduction to homeopathy, which includes many cure stories, first-person cure stories from people for a wide variety of ailments, as well as the story of my family's experiences. Now, those of you really interested in hearing more in detail about my son's cure from autism, I encourage you to listen to the February show. You just can find it archived on the Autism One website. Last month, the subject of the show was an introduction to homeopathic philosophy and its view on disease and cure, including a discussion of why we may be experiencing, especially in the United States, such a rise in chronic disease today, and especially autism. Today's show is focused specifically on homeopathic treatment of autism in particular. And one reason why homeopathy may be starting to have such remarkable success in treating autism is that it has really a long-standing history in correcting vaccine damage. As we know, as many of us believe, probably the majority of cases of autism in this country have been caused by vaccine damage. So homeopathy has a long-standing history, probably ever since vaccination began with the smallpox vaccines in the late 1800s, I believe, of correcting damage from vaccination, and also serves as an alternative to vaccines. Now, I'm not suggesting giving homeopathic remedies as alternative to vaccines, although some people do that, but rather as an alternative way of treating and preventing diseases based on a principle called the genus epidemicus. I'm not going to get into this today. I will talk about these concepts in future shows, but homeopathy. I just wanted to press the point that homeopathy's success in treating autism can probably partially be explained by its success in treating vaccine damage. Actually, just this past Tuesday night, I came home from a week at the conference, the conference for the National Center for Homeopathy. I'm on the board of the National Center, and we actually had a wonderful conference this year in Orlando, Florida. And so I was there for the board meeting and also for the conference, where I presented a talk on the homeopathic treatment of autism, and that will be the subject of today's show. By the way, I also really strongly encourage everyone interested in homeopathy to join the National Center for Homeopathy. They are the organization in the United States that's trying to protect and promote homeopathy. You can find out more about the organization by going to homeopathic.org. So it's homeopathic.org. The organization, you know, it's not a practitioner organization. It's for everybody, practitioners, patients, everybody. And it's an advocacy organization for homeopathy and also an educational organization. For just a $55 yearly membership, you're really helping this organization, which really, really does need your membership dollars. But you also get a subscription to a fantastic magazine that comes out 6 times a year, Homeopathy Today, which has tons of information, especially information for moms and dads who want to learn how to do self-treatment for their kids for common acute ailments like colds, hay fever, ear infections, things like that, the flu. They also include in the magazine personal stories of cure from patients and lots of information about what's going on in the world of homeopathy. It's really a wonderful magazine. It has really improved over the years to be a magazine for the general public. There's also tons of online goodies you can get if you join the center that aren't available. They're on the web. They're only available to members, some of these things, like Homeopathy Today Online, various web chats with famous homeopaths, you know, who discuss various topics, are available to members. There's also lots of information for everybody who goes to this site. There's articles about the flu, about epidemics, there's just really maybe 100 articles on that site. There's also an interesting facility called the Flu Tracker, which helps people input successful treatment remedies for the flu. Each year's flu might be cured by different remedies, so there's a facility to input what helped you and to find out what remedies are pertinent to this year's flu. The National Center also offers study groups, a yearly conference, a summer school, and in addition to Homeopathy Today, you'll get also 6 e-newsletters alternating months with the magazine. But most importantly, the NCH, National Center, advocates and promotes homeopathy in the USA and trying to always protect our access to homeopathic remedies and practitioners. So they really need your support. I also want to encourage listeners who are interested in learning more about homeopathy to go to the Impossible Cure website. That's my website, impossiblecure.com. You can find out how to order my book, and you can also, there's a little button for a page called Autism, and on that page it has some tips that I wrote up because so many parents contact me, I just put them on the web. Also, referral lists to practitioners, and also what I really want to encourage those of you who are having success with homeopathy to contribute your stories to the Cure Stories database on the website. I know it's a little scary to make your story known to others. You can do it anonymously, but you know it's even better if you don't. But every story that a parent reads on this Cure Stories database can have the potential to encourage another family to try homeopathy. And so you contributing your story can help save another child's life. So I really want to encourage those of you who are having success with homeopathy to contribute that story. It can just be a paragraph or two to the Cure Stories database. There's probably 400 or 500 people look at that database every day, so your story could really help change another person's life. Finally, if you want to send me a message during this show or any time really, I do respond to questions on email. Send me an email at alansky, A-L-A-N-S-K-Y, at autism1.org, or you can email me at lansky@impossiblecure.com. Okay, so let's get into the meat of the show here. Now, I don't need to tell most of you out there about what's going on with the autism epidemic in this country. And the sad thing is, and the perfect, really, opportunity for homeopathy is that conventional medicine has no effective treatment. In fact, parents tell me, you know, they take their children to the doctor and they just say, well, just you're going to have to institutionalize your child. Well, hogwash, because many kids are improving and some even completely recovering, like my son. There really is hope with various alternative treatments, even if conventional medicine has nothing to offer. In fact, one thing I see in the conventional medical community is that they're barking up this genetic tree, that they'll find the gene for that's causing homeopathy. Well, even MD neurologist at Harvard Medical School told me this is insane, because a genetic disease doesn't go up 20% a year. The gene pool doesn't change by a factor of 20% a year. No, I mean, autism may occur in families that are predisposed to it, but it's an epidemic. 20% more kids a year are becoming autistic. And at the current rate of increase, which hopefully will not continue, it's been going this way for the past 10 years, but at the current rate of increase, in 15 or 16 years, 1 in 10 children in this country will be autistic. So, no, this is not a genetic disease. Just looking at the charts of what's happening with this will tell you this, that all these other disabilities are staying level pretty much each year, but autism is just skyrocketing. So there's a lot of denial, of course, cover-up of the vaccine connection here. And unfortunately, the big money in the autism community seems to be going to these people, to the conventional medical approaches, which I think are essentially futile. But where the kids are really having success and doing better is through alternative techniques. And these include a lot of things. There's the various behavioral and learning therapies that many of you know about. There's, of course, using diet, like the gluten-free, casein-free diet, because these kids, for whatever reason, and probably due to vaccination, are very sensitive to various foods. There is the use of chelation, which are various methods for removing metals and toxins from the body, and other what's called biomedical interventions, which include the use of supplements and herbal tinctures, etc. Now, the people who are in this community include players like Autism One and the DAN people, which is the Autism Research Institute in San Diego. And I'm happy to say that I am here today because Autism One and people like Dan are starting to embrace homeopathy as one of the treatment modalities that they recommend for autistic children. And why? Because they really want to cure these kids, and they know that homeopathy actually works. So I want to give credit to these organizations, because truly homeopathy lies somewhat outside of, let's say, the recommended DAN treatments. Nevertheless, they have included the story of my son's cure in their book of success stories, and Bernard Rimlin endorsed my book. So I give them a lot of credit for that, and some homeopathic practitioners are starting to also talk at their conferences. In my view, and let me tell you, I just was at this conference and I talked to a bunch of homeopathic practitioners while I was there. All of them are starting to have more and more autistic patients in their practices, and they are all having remarkable successes. Now, not every kid is going to be completely cured like my son was. I admit that. But in these practices, with these practitioners tell me that 50 to 75% of the patients are having dramatic improvement. And I know of other cures that are even more profound than my own son's cure. So this is, my son is not an isolated case. So in my view, however, that homeopathy is one of the only one of these alternative therapies that does have the potential to achieve a complete cure. The various diets, etc., supplements, have to be maintained. The kids have to stay on those diets. They have to keep taking those supplements in order to stay well. But with homeopathy, we can actually achieve a cure. What I mean by cure is complete freedom from this. Now, it is a fact that things like sensitivities to foods is probably one of the last things to go in homeopathic treatment, that the child's behavior and other things will improve before their sensitivity to the foods will go. But that also will go in time. I think that it's not unreasonable to hope and to expect that homeopathic treatment done by really an accomplished, experienced homeopath could achieve a complete cure if you take your child to a homeopath early, especially before age 5, preferably before age 3, if possible. But even with older children, I'm hearing stories of successful treatment, not a complete cure, but dramatic improvement in kids that as old as teenagers. So there's always time to start trying. Okay, so I'm going to review some factors about my son's case because they really are indicative of a typical autism case in homeopathic practice. One of the first things we did, and I think it really is very important as part of homeopathic treatment, it's not the use of remedies, but it's important part of homeopathic treatment, is that you start by removing aggravating factors from the child's diet. This might include milk, wheat, corn, food colorings, things like that. In Max's case, my son Max's case, we eliminated cow's milk, although I must say we did not eliminate all dairy from his diet. He still ate cheese or ice cream occasionally, but he was addicted to milk. He was drinking at least 8 cups of milk a day. He was addicted to the bottle. And when we removed that, he did start to improve somewhat. He was still autistic, but that is when he began talking. And I kept him off of milk for many, many years, straight milk. Actually, he went to goat's milk. He was allowed to have a cup of goat's milk a day. But so that is important. Until the child has really recovered, then you can slowly reintroduce these foods and see if they've really lost the sensitivity to the foods. Another important thing in Max's case, and I want to also emphasize that people write to me all the time, they say, what remedy did you give Max? First of all, I did not treat Max myself, and neither can you. This is considered very challenging treatment, even by an extremely experienced homeopath. You cannot treat your autistic child yourself with homeopathy. You must see a practitioner. And there are practitioners who are willing to work remotely. Ideally, though, you'll be able to find somebody close by. And you can always write to me. I give referrals all the time. But one thing that was important, and that's often true, practitioners have told me, is that in the early stage of treatment, the use of certain remedies are often critical. Not always. Sometimes just general classical treatment with whatever the indicated remedy is works. But occasionally, the early stages, those indicated remedies are remedies of a certain type. And this includes the use of nozodes, what homeopaths call nozodes. These are remedies made from disease matter. I know that's kind of icky, but remember that the homeopathic remedies are extremely dilute to the point where there's no substance left. It's an energetic medicine. The kinds of nozodes that are commonly used in autism cases are those made from things like tuberculosis, gonorrhea, and cancer, and also dysentery, various bowel diseases. So these kinds of remedies often play an important part in the early stages of treatment. Another important class of remedies that actually we did not use in Max's case, but I know are important in many cases, are what are called isopathic remedies or tautopathic remedies. These are remedies made from actual suspected toxins. So, for example, giving the vaccine in potency, let's say, you know, you think your child was damaged by MMR, then giving the MMR vaccine in potency, or vaccine ingredients. I've recently heard about some success giving thimerosal in potency, meaning potentized thimerosal, or other vaccine remedies, or mercury in potency, etc. These can often be used to unblock the case. But I also want to say, you know, this is a show about classical treatment, and I've heard stories about practitioners who give routine regimens of, let's say, the vaccines in potency, or use machines to do some kind of testing and give remedies in potency, various ingredients in potency. I've got to say, I find this unwise, that not every child's going to be the same, is going to require the same remedies. Moreover, these children are, the autism community, they're very, very sensitive. And although these remedies are on the energetic plane, that does not mean they are not extremely sensitive to these remedies. So I think it's unwise to just bombard them with these protocols, fixed protocols. The treatment should always be done based on the symptoms of the child, the presenting symptoms. And I also believe only one remedy should be given at a time, no mixtures and such. And the only way you can decide on this remedy is through finding out their characteristics and choosing the remedy most similar or indicated by their symptoms. This is my experience. This is my belief. Another class of remedies that have also been important in the early stages of autism treatment are various brain trauma remedies, remedies that pertain to brain injury. And these include things, believe it or not, like Arnica, which actually was a very important remedy for Max. It's one of the most commonly used remedies, Arnica. People know it, using it for bumps and bruises, but it's also a remedy for various shock or, you know, injuries to the brain. And there's tons of others too, but that class of remedies can also be important. Another important thing about that you'll see in autism cases, and Max certainly followed this this track, which is that once successful treatment has begun, the child start losing their autistic symptoms, but often they will move into a new stage where they may have various kinds of indefinable learning disabilities. So they're no longer autistic, but now do they have auditory processing or ADD or some other kind of lesser serious problem, but some kind of problem nevertheless. At this stage, don't despair. You know, when Max, we began treatment with Max when he was 3.5. By 5, he was testing normally, although there were still some vestigial things. By the time he was in second grade, you would never guess he had been autistic, but we were getting reports back from the teachers that you know, he wasn't picking up on oral instructions or missing the point of certain assignments, and I had him tested for auditory processing problems and came up vaguely CAPD, NVLD, you know, these kind of diagnoses. It wasn't definitive, but, you know, we just continued with the homeopathic treatment. At that point, he actually changed remedies. At this point, he was just getting, you know, whatever constitutional remedy was indicated for him. At that point, actually, it was hyoscyamus, which is also a common remedy in these kids. And within a year, the teachers were not reporting any problems like that anymore. Certainly by fourth grade, none at all. So even those problems disappeared on his road to cure. So this underlines another point, which is that this is a slow process. Even in the ideal situation, you should look at homeopathic treatment as something that's going to take 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Nothing that's going to happen overnight. And you have to take a long-term view. So to stick with it over that process, you need to educate yourself about what to expect. Know that whether your homeopath is dealing with the case properly, if you're seeing enough improvement, and that's another reason you should buy and read my book. Another thing that was really important for Max along the way, and I think this is essential, is that as the child improves, you have to adapt to their changes. So along the way, we realized, you know, when he was autistic, I had him in a Montessori program, very strict one, where he had no interaction with the other kids, which was appropriate. But once he started talking and he was trying to, you know, integrate and socialize with the other children, this environment was no longer good for him. They were not sort of welcoming of the change in him. So I switched him to another school, and then he integrated very well in the setting, and they helped him adapt, since he was so immature at that point. So you might need to change childcare setups, your schools, but you have to adapt, because it's easy to get into some routine of the therapy, etc. But if your kid is going to be progressing much faster under homeopathic treatment than they expect, one of the practitioners I interviewed for my talk, you know, I myself don't treat autistic children. I am a practitioner now, but I don't treat this population, even though I monitor many cases and I'm pretty aware of what's going on in some of these practices. One of the practitioners I interviewed for the talk I gave at the NCH conference told me that he finds that, like, for example, the ABA therapies, they get very boring for a kid who's doing homeopathy, because they're just progressing much faster. So that in itself is detrimental. He suggested that these programs be done, if possible, within the family, so that the family can adapt faster. So you need to be aware that, you know, your child, if they're undergoing successful homeopathic treatment, isn't going to be like a typical autistic kid. They're going to be recovering, and you need to adapt to that. Probably the most important factor when I talk to these practitioners is that the most important factor for success is how happy and healthy your family is. Now, I know it's going to be very hard. So many of you out there this is a huge stress to you personally and to your whole family, financially, emotionally. Autism can really rip a family apart, but as much as you can, it's so important to try to make the family situation as happy and healthy as you can. Practitioners tell me they spend a lot of their time counseling the family, the parents, to, you know, get a babysitter, get out, have your parent night out, have a date, take care of yourselves. Try to become happy, you know, try to create an environment in which that the child will want to rejoin. You know, I believe that autistic kids are pretty psychic in a way. And if there's a lot of discord in the family, there's going to be that much less motivation for them to re-enter our world, reintegrate, and join that family. So as much as you can, it's not selfish. Take care of yourself. You're actually increasing the chance that your child will recover. Also, like I said, you got to have patience. I know that some of you are desperate. You're doing so many different therapies. It's such anxiety. You're filled with guilt, grief, and fear. Actually, one thing that is very helpful to this notion of improving your family dynamic, and some, you know, practitioners require this, is that you, everybody else in the family also have homeopathic treatment, especially the moms and the dads. This was certainly true in our family. Once Max was being treated, eventually all of us, all my husband and I and my other son, all started seeing a homeopath. And really, it became this cycle of improvement. And once Max was doing better, then we were doing better. We worked on our relationship. My other son eventually also had to have his needs met. It was like he was holding in his needs for several years till we were past this. So it was this cycle of improvement. So I really recommend, especially the moms, who are the most involved in many cases, to get treated by the homeopath. You will understand what homeopathy is about much better if you are treated. Okay. Let's see here. Here's some other tips that homeopaths have told me about their treatment of autistic children. First of all, as you know, many of you come in doing tons of other treatments, and some of these are actually fine with homeopathy, and some of them don't blend so well with homeopathy. The diet, essential. It's really what we call in homeopathy an aggravating or maintaining factor. These kids are, for whatever reason, sensitive to these foods, so the homeopathic treatment goes better if the foods are removed from the diet, if they are, if your child is sensitive to them. One of the homeopaths told me that he thinks that the gluten-free may be more important in cases where it's the damages from the DPT vaccine, and the casein-free, the milk removal, is more important in the MMR cases. Possible, that's his theory. Remember that the food sensitivities will be the last to go, so be patient. As far as supplements this is okay, but not too many. I've been told that the probiotics are okay, but that the herbal supplements like oregano oil, licorice root, milk thistle, these can possibly antidote the effect of the remedies. So you should discuss that with your homeopath. Another thing that is considered very helpful is to integrate things like osteopathy, craniosacral, Reiki, that kind of treatment into the regimen. One of the homeopaths I talked to said that he thinks that cranial osteopathy can double the speed of progress in the cases he treats. So that's important. And also, I think the various behavioral therapies are also important if they're still needed. In Max's case, after a year or so of treatment, we did not need or qualify for any of these kinds of therapies anymore. Chelation. This is something everybody's very tempted to do because we're all obsessed that these metals have gotten into our kids' bodies. But the bad news is that I've heard more than one story where a case was progressing nicely on homeopathy, the parent got very impatient, decided to do the chelation, and the whole treatment was disrupted by this. And it took at least a year to get back on track. So if you're dead set on doing chelation, then do it before you start homeopathy. But it's a very harsh treatment. Now, I've heard that these new transdermal methods aren't as bad. But I want to say, you know, we're obsessed that there's this toxin in our kid's body. But the body, you know, has mechanisms to excrete these toxins. And what perhaps autistic kids have lost is this ability to excrete it. And the correct homeopathic treatment should re-regulate the body to slowly excrete or chelate these metals over time. In Max's case, we did not do any chelation or even anything to remove metals from his body. And I believe that that homeopathy can do this slowly, and there's definitely indication of this in the homeopathic literature of metals coming out of the body through homeopathic treatment. So, and we're almost out of time here. So, you know, in future shows, I may discuss other non-classical methods of homeopathy that people use, things like sequential therapy. I touched on that. It's my belief that ideas from these other methods can be integrated into classical homeopathy. I view classical treatment as the most judicious and careful approach, and that these kids need that kind of approach because they are so sensitive. But that a practitioner, if they're open, can integrate ideas from these other methods into their treatment. So, for example, might use isopathic remedies like the vaccines and potency, but in a very methodical, judicious way, not based on some fixed protocols. Now, that said, I know that people have had success using these approaches, but I've also heard some stories of children who've been really aggravated by these more harsh, aggressive methods. Okay. Well, I think I'm about running out of time. But in future shows, I'm going to be talking more and more in detail about various things like dosing. But I want to say one thing about dosing here, which is that some practitioners, when you go, some will be using dosing in water, and some will be giving you dry pills. You should just follow, every practitioner seems to have their own methodology that they like to use, that they find successful. You know, I'm personally, in my son's case, the first couple of years he was on what's called LM potencies, which are a method of water dosing, and I find that very, very useful, but requires that the parents be very good observers. And this is true in general, in homeopathic treatment of autism, actually. You must be very close participants and very observant participants of your child's improvement. Not only because you have to give feedback to the homeopath, but especially in the case of daily dosing, you may be the one to decide, does my child need another dose of the remedy, or is he being aggravated by too much remedy? In homeopathy, the rule is that as long as somebody is improving, you see improvement, you should not redose. You should only redose when you see a relapse, when the symptoms are coming back. So if you're doing daily dosing and you're just doing it, you know, okay, every day, and your kid's improving, and then they might get into a point of what we call aggravation, where like it's almost like they're getting too much medicine, too much of the remedy, then it's important to pull back and decrease the frequency. So you have to become, you know, an observer of what is the difference between an aggravation and what's a relapse. In Max's case, for example, if he was getting too much remedy, an aggravation was that he was just getting more hyperactive or agitated in some way. A relapse for him meant that suddenly his language and social ability, the autism, would be coming back. So that would indicate that you need to dose again. So in general, you need to be very good observers of your child. And actually, I know that most autism parents are very good observers of their child. But your success in this treatment is really a cooperative affair between you and the homeopath and your, you know, ability to observe very nuanced details about your child. Okay, well, that's about it for today. Next month's show is going to be on May 20th. Actually, I'm going to be pre-recording that show because I'm flying to Buffalo that day for my mom's 90th birthday. But it will be pre-recorded, and what I'm hoping is that I'm going to be interviewing John Melnichuk, who is the homeopath who treated Max. Actually, some of the information I've given you today is stuff that I discussed with him. I also interviewed other practitioners for this talk I gave at the NCH. But you'll get more of his opinion, his experience with autistic kids. Please, I also want to ask you all to feel free to email me with questions. And also, I really encourage you to order the book. I can't really talk on the phone to parents who want to talk to me. I would spend 24 hours a day, every day, talking to parents if I could do that. But that's why I wrote my book, and that's why I created my website for you to get this information. And I don't mind doing referrals through, you know, over email, and you know, even monitoring people's cases and giving advice occasionally on email. So, once again, a reminder too to become a member of the NCH at homeopathic.org, and to also, if you're having success with homeopathy, please contribute your story to the Cure Stories database on impossiblecure.com. So, for now, thank you very much for listening, and remember that there is hope with homeopathy.